Let me go ahead and call the Mesa City Council study session of Thursday, June 21st, 2007 to order. The first item is going to be to review items on the June 25th, 2007 council meeting. I am going to be absent. I'll be taking a little vacation that week. So, Vice Mayor, would you like to go through the items?
Sure. Thank you, Mayor. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the revised agenda 6-19-07. Starting on page one, we have recognition of the outgoing board and committee members. And it's my understanding Kyle is not here, but Kyle will be reading those while I present them. We're not doing that today. I'm just saying that that's what's going to happen that evening. On page two, does anyone have anything? We have a number of public hearings and then taking action on things. Appointment of a new deputy city manager. It's my intention to introduce Carrie at that point in time. I'm assuming she's going to be here that evening. With bells on, right, Carrie? Okay. Item number 10, it's off the consent agenda, but I just so I'm not surprising anybody, I just want everybody to know that I am intending to vote no on that item. I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago. All right, page three. Yes, sir, Scott.
On 13B, GP minor 0707 in my district, there are some properties just to the east of this. Will they still have access? Is there going to be an access issue with those? There's some parcels to these. I'm sorry, 13B. I'm looking at the map, and there seem to be some parcels just right to the east, and I know there were some concerns about access to those properties. Is that going to be a problem with this development?
Mayor, Councilmember Summers, no, there's not any. They really kind of stand alone. As I recall, the site plan for this, this little shopping center has its own internal circulation.
Is this it, or am I on the right ones?
This is a minor plan amendment, and then there's a related zoning case on 13B and 13C.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had the wrong question tied to the wrong number. I guess I'm looking. Yeah, the 13B, it is the parcel to the east. It's not an access issue. I was wondering what the parcel to the east was. Is that a house, or is that vacant property, or what? I apologize. I'm thinking of another question.
Mayor, Councilmember Summers, it's been a little while since I've looked at exactly what that is next to it. I'll have to check and let you know.
Okay. Curious as to where mixing up some residential properties with commercial and we're going dead in the middle of those or not.
I remember for sure, Councilmember, that the corner is commercial. And
right.
I can't remember if this piece is commercial or not, but the intent is for the whole area to go commercial.
Okay. But neighborhood didn't have any objection to that?
No.
In either event. All right. So probably a moot point. I apologize for the confusion. It's too early and I was up late.
Don't worry, we all get there. So 13B will be the minor plan amendment, and then we'll do the public hearing on 13A, then the minor plan amendment on B, and then the zoning ordinance on C. I need to step back a second. Between items 12 and 13, we are going to recess the regular council meeting, convene a special council meeting for the purposes of approving the budget and the five-year capital improvement program. And Councilmember Whalen, it's my understanding that you're going to assist with that one. All right, anything else on page three? All right, page four. I have a question on 14C. We had a note in there that the previous license was revoked by the State Liquor Board, and it looked to me like this is a different entity that's applying for it. This is on 14C. This is...
Vice Mayor Walters, this situation is one of the 40% rule where the restaurant didn't meet the 40% rule, and so the State Liquor Board revoked their license, and now they're applying for this.
Are they applying for a different kind of license than they had before?
This is a beer and wine license.
Okay.
Yes, instead of a restaurant. The restaurant, the 40% is tied to a restaurant license.
All right, got it. All right, thank you, Jenny. Appreciate that. Anything on page 5? We're still looking at liquor licenses, and we're starting on contracts. Yes, sir. Mr. Rawls.
I'd like item 15A taken off the consent agenda. It falls into the same category as command vehicles for me, and I just won't make a speech, but I'll say vote no.
Okay, thank you very much. Moving on to page 6. Are you going to have the same issue on 15B? Okay. Anything on page 6? Mayor, I'm calling you.
Yeah. On 15F, the Broadway Recreation Center air handling equipment was discussed a couple of budget cycles before as an alternative to do or not do. I have some kind of recollection that that was a discussion because of the boxing program and the rest. I can't remember what the decision was at that time. It seems like now it's combined with several other HOV improvements. Can somebody tell me what's going on with that now? Is there anybody?
I can recall we didn't have the money in the past, and we must have found it within the budget.
Well, then we've prioritized that there's enough activity there. And
Mayor, we'll have to look into it. This says two replacements, and I think they were swamp coolers, actually. But we'll look into it and get back to you. They were trying to air condition the entire recreation center, I believe.
I think you're
right. Yeah, and I'm not sure what this is, but it says replacement. But I don't know if Beth can cover that or not.
All right, well, maybe that's what it is. Maybe they're replacing the...
Mayor, I can tell you what I know. These are the swamp coolers on the gym. I believe there's two sets of swamp coolers in this building, and according to what my staff tells me, there's two sets of swamp coolers, and this is replacing the ones on the gym.
Okay, so. I've assumed from the dollar magnitude that it wasn't air conditioning at all.
No, it is.
And my follow-up question was then, if it was going to air condition, that what was the additional operational expense for the power, and whether we could really have...
Mayor Hawker, they're not replacing the HVAC or replacing it with HVAC. They're just replacing the air handlers because they're worn out. And
all right, that's fine. Thank you.
Okay.
So, Mayor...
Just technically, should that say then HVAC or should it say something else? Is it the same
thing? It's not HVAC. It's just the air handler that moves the air into the building.
Generically, HVAC covers... It's an umbrella that will cover all of that. So.
But maybe we can be clear. Yeah. Well, we can... clarify the language.
We'll put swamp coolers or evaporative coolers.
Yeah. I was just more looking at the energy usage. If you were going to do that for that gym, it would be huge, in my opinion. I just don't think it was insulated right. And so, okay, I'm comfortable with this move.
Yeah, the air handlers were worn out, and they're just replacing them at the same time. They're fixing the roof so they didn't have to tear up the roof twice. So.
That's fine. All right.
Thank you. Councilmember Griswold?
Just wondering if there's a reason that 14F was not on consent agenda on the Carver Hall's Mexican restaurant liquor license.
Jenny, this is a liquor license.
This application is not on the consent because when the fire prevention went out to do their inspections, they found that there had been some remodeling done at the restaurant and there had not pulled the right building permits. And so we've been in contact with the owner. We notified him that our recommendation would be to the council for denial, until those building permits and the inspections were completed. The applicant was in yesterday to pull the permits, and we don't believe that the inspections will be done by Monday. The applicant said that she didn't want to withdraw her application, and she would be here. I think she might even be here today or Monday to speak to the council, but we have the fire inspectors here if you have any specific questions and building safety.
They did pull the permits for the correct of what needs to be corrected?
They were in last night to pull the permits, but the inspections haven't been done. I understand that they're extensive.
Councilmember Griswold, Steve Heather with Building Safety. They tried to submit plans yesterday, but we rejected them in the screening process because they didn't have enough of the technical information there that we need to even begin a plan review. So it's going to be quite a while.
Okay, thank you.
Jenny, can an applicant request a continuance? Or how does that work? They just do a withdrawal and they have to repay an application fee or?
Vice Mayor Walters, they have that 60-day, we have the 60 days in which to get the council's recommendation to the state. And we're right up against that now. And so it would be in their best interest to withdraw their application and come back after their building permits have been completed.
Okay. Councilmember Griswold.
This is an existing restaurant. Did they have a liquor license before this new ownership, or is it? It says new restaurant license. That doesn't mean they've obviously been in business for a while.
I'd have to check into that. I don't know for sure.
Okay. Thank you. I just wondered if, don't want to put someone out of business. I want them to be legal. I want them to be safe, et cetera. But when we approve it, which is just a recommendation to the state, it's still a long period to go before they get to the state. And we still have the ability to shut them down if they don't get the changes that they need to do and get the permits, et cetera. So I hate to hold them up on the whole bureaucracy process of getting a liquor license, yet I do want them to be legal and have everything permitted, et cetera. So that's just sort of my thoughts on it. Thank you.
Councilmember Summers.
I'm just curious. Can we put stipulations on that? Can we approve it with the conditions that they finish the fire prevention process and get their building up to code, and if we can, which doesn't look like we can, but if we can, what legal avenues do we have to enforce that code?
Yeah, go ahead, Ms. Spinner.
Vice Mayor, Councilmember Summers, the statute doesn't contemplate an approval or a denial with stipulations, but what it does provide, it does allow you to provide information to the state board. Also, under the state administrative rules, it says what is the criteria the council should use in determining whether to recommend approval or recommend denial. And the rule specifically states that you can consider evidence that all necessary license and permits have been obtained from the state and all other governing bodies. So their failure to obtain the permits is expressly stated as a basis upon which the council can consider approval or denial. If the council does not make a recommendation at all, the board will have a hearing. The state board will have a hearing. Also, if the council recommends denial, you have to obviously, as we've discussed before, state specific reasons for your denial, and this would be a basis for that denial. And then the state board would have a hearing. The city would appear and present evidence. If they've completed the permits by that point, that evidence can go before the state board as well, that it was recommended denial for their failure to obtain the permits. In the interim, they have obtained those permits.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right, anything else on page 5 or page 6? Moving on to page 7, we're still doing contracts. Mayor.
On 15H, I didn't even know the city council chambers had a standby generator. Has it ever been used?
Absolutely, Mayor. Yeah,
we've used it. The power has gone out in the city of Mesa electric system, and we've had.
I don't know if Dennis can answer that, but it's exercised on a regular basis, and I don't know if we've ever had a power out that we actually had to use it.
So why are we spending $326,000 for a generator for a backup system where we may never use it?
No, that wouldn't be the reason for that. Maybe Beth can talk about it. It's two generators. The large one is for the district cooling system we have at the central plant. That it will be the first install to that generator for the system.
And that's so you don't have to refund concert tickets or something if you did have a power outage? Or
no, as we expand, the risk level gets higher and higher for continuing the chilled water loop system being pumped through the system. And this really addresses the pumps that allow the chilled water to be pumped through the loops.
Okay, what would it take to hook up to one of our gas turbines that we purchased as a backup generator? Do we still have those? I think we bought 5 gas turbines. Is that an option for $325,000?
Mayor, at this time, I don't think we'd recommend using those. I think there's some question about the future of those turbines anyway.
Yes.
Okay. So how did you determine the risk analysis that we're going to have a power shortage long enough that we would want backup generators for $326,000?
But Actually, there's, if you look at the breakdown on that, the council chamber building generator is about $56,000, $57,000. And the generator and the screen wall at the district cooling plant is about $270,000 of that. That's kind of the split apart of those two. And the generator going in for the district cooling plant will only back up the pump that will provide chilled water air to the police campus and to the ISD building, where we need to maintain cooling on all the equipment in the ISD facility. So there's only those two facilities that will be backed up with the generator at the MAC.
Okay. I didn't have the breakdown on the individual ones.
I've got it. I can get it for you, Mayor.
All right. And how many times have they been down that they've had to be used, not just cycled through? Have you had occurrences here that they have been turned on? Electrical storms or something?
Mayor Hawker, we don't, I do not have the number of times that it's used to replace it in an emergency situation, but it is exercised every month and is ready. We have used it in the past. I would have to do some research to find out how many times, but there has been times where there's been a power failure where it's kicked in.
And Mayor, I would suggest that those two facilities would be critical under any circumstance of an emergency. So we would build in those redundant systems for police and ITSD. If ITSD becomes the backbone of communications and running processes through the city, we absolutely have to have backup there for power. For them to have keep the systems cool, those equipments can run very hot, and oftentimes you have to keep those temperatures low in order to make them function. And of course, police department right now is the headquarters of the police department, plus it has, at least today, the basement is the, or the room in the basement is the emergency operations center. So I think we would always want to have redundant systems.
Okay. What's your fuel capacity? How long do they run?
These will be fueled off the city's natural gas system. So
you're assuming that there's an electrical shortage, but nothing in a natural gas break?
I believe that's the assumption.
The assumption.
Okay. Well, if you wanted to be all hazard, I'm not sure that I would. If that takes everything but some type of a terrorist attack, if you really wanted to do damage, you'd probably hit a lot of your infrastructure. Okay. Because I was curious on where your gas storage tanks and those costs and stuff were going to come from. So this does fire off from the natural gas?
Yes, sir.
The present one here at the council chambers is run off of diesel, and it's down below the surface, and it causes fumes when we exercise it, and this will move it above ground and change it to the natural gas.
Right. Is the one at the AT&T building, is that a natural gas? Are you familiar with that system over there on the...
I'm not. I'm sorry.
Okay. Because I know they have a huge backup generation system for their switching equipment.
Mm-hmm.
I was just...
You'd ask.
Curious on the success of what they've used over there. Okay.
Councilmember Ross.
I don't think I have a problem with the one at the Mesa Arts Center to keep the chilling system, but I don't understand why we need to spend $57,000 to have the ability to have a meeting in this building. I mean, we could meet anywhere. We could meet outside if we had to. What we do isn't all that important in the context of emergencies and stuff, and so I don't see why we need a standby generator for this facility. And if there was a way to split it out, I'd prefer to have it split out.
Rationale on that?
I think it's like any of our facilities. I guess the question is I don't know if it's necessarily for the function for the meetings. At some point in any facility, I guess I'm looking at more from a long term. If it goes down for an extended period of time, it becomes a degradation to the facility itself without the power. I mean, at some point it would. If we're intending these just to keep so we can run meetings, I'm not sure I would disagree with you. It doesn't necessarily have a critical function. So we could certainly, you know, if that's something we want to look at. We've had it work. Essentially, I think what staff has done is looked at the backup generators that are in place today and try to come up with you know, replacements that are more efficient and, in this case, even more safe because of the hazardous. But if we choose not to replace the one here, you know, I guess the only concern to me would be a long-term downtime. That would be the only issue I can think of right now, unless, Dennis, you have something else to offer.
It can be split out if you want to.
So my recommendation is that for Monday that we put these out as two separate agenda items and take the one off of the consent agenda that deals with the city building. Is everybody okay with that, Mr. Whalen?
It's my understanding from the backup that this building was originally constructed with the backup generator diesel in the vault, and it's 27 years old at the current time. Mm-hmm. So simply what we're doing is replacing something that was part of this building to start with. And I would hate to go back and go through every building in the city and cut things that were originally intended to be there. It's just, I'm in favor of doing it. I think it's good sound business practices to have something that was built with the intent for it to be there.
Right, and I guess it's hard to second guess under any emergency or circumstances which facilities we may want to be able to use. I guess there's some level of comfort, and maybe, I don't know if the price is worth the risk, but I've been in circumstances where certain buildings are out of commission and you're looking for backups for all variety of things. You may have to move operations out of City Hall or any other location, and it's always nice to have a redundant system. Now, if $57,000 is more than we want to pay for that kind of insurance, you know, we'll break it out and put it on the agenda separately. We can do that.
Well, I think that there's a desire to do that. I think that there may be a broader policy question here, because the answer that I don't have yet is, do we have redundancies in all of our city buildings? Have we looked at the system and said, these buildings need redundancies, these buildings don't need redundancies? And to piecemeal it for me doesn't give me a sense of what the plan is. I just heard Beth say that the only places that we're getting redundancy as a result of what we're putting in the district cooling system is at ISD and at the PD, which means that there are a number of buildings in that system that we then have not created a redundancy for.
I think that's what, I'm not sure if that's the case. That's the ones that are in this program. I don't know if we don't have redundant systems in other locations.
We have generators at several other buildings, but not all of them.
But that what I was talking about was in terms of the chilled water, we wouldn't have air conditioning at those buildings in the event of a power outage.
I feel like I need a broader perspective on it before I can make a rational decision about whether or not it makes sense to invest the money in this building. I need to understand what the broader policy is. Mayor?
I think it also ties into emergency preparedness somehow. Where do you evacuate to? How do you continue to do operations? So there's some prioritization that I would think it would have to go into the decision-making.
All right. The other possibility, Mr. Brady, is that we could step back on this one till we understand what that broader policy is,
sure,
rather than voting it up or down on
Monday. No,
that's
fine. Pulling the one off for this building is what I'm hearing. That's fine. We can do that and have then that broader discussion, or do you want to pull?
That's what I was suggesting. I was suggesting pulling that one off to have the broader discussion.
Okay, that's fine.
But because I understand why we need it for PD and why we need
sure.
it for
And we're
going to
have
IT.
This discussion when we talk about the bomb packages for police department and communication systems. And we are somewhat vulnerable on certain redundancies in the city, and so we need to talk about those things. Okay, we'd be glad to do that. That's not a problem.
Okay, thank you. Is there any concern with that? Councilmember Wallace.
Was this bid as one project, though? I mean, can we have a bidder who bid a
That's
certain amount for both
he's
projects?
Correct. Councilmember Rawls, you're absolutely correct. This was bid as one project, and we would have to go back and look at taking that out of the bid and negotiating with the low bidder to do that.
Why don't we leave it on? And we may pull it. If we pull it today, we probably have to pull it all. Maybe between today and Monday, we can find out from the successful bidder whether or not they're comfortable with the removal of the small part,
right.
And then we can make a decision to pull it on Monday.
And as a minimum, I'd suggest that we do the work to remove the existing generator. That is an old generator, and I haven't talked to Dennis about it, but that diesel tank is not in good condition in that pit, and we need to get it out of there for obvious reasons. So
okay.
As a minimum, we ought to remove the old one.
Sounds good. Any problems with that? All right. Thank you. We're on, still on page 7. Anybody else have anything there? Page 8, still contracts. Mayor?
On 15I, there's no, I don't have a breakdown on the different units. The Mesa Senior Center building and others, again, and I'm not sure if this is evap coolers or air conditioners now.
I can tell you, I can give you the breakdown afterwards, Mayor. I have it here too. Okay.
What's the Senior Center building cost?
The Senior Center is right around $224,000. Okay. And we have units out there. We do have some safety concerns at that site. Primarily, this is the cooling tower. And I have pictures I can show you, but it's mounted right now on some concrete walls and steel supports. It's in very, very bad condition and probably won't continue to stay.
Are you going to get any efficiency on your electrical usage?
Yes, that's my understanding.
Do you know how much?
I don't. I did ask our energy person to look at that, and he has, but I don't have the numbers.
Okay, it comes into a study session discussion we're going to have later on utility usage. So
yes, right. I'm aware.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions on page 8? Page 9, we're moving on to introduction of ordinances and then resolutions. Councilmember Rawls.
Item 17A, I'd like to have taken off the consent agenda, please.
Vice Mayor, if I may.
Yes.
I was actually going to suggest we pull it from this week's agenda altogether. DEC's meeting on that this morning. PNC's meeting on it this evening. It'll give us a little bit more time to take any comments they have if we hold this off till the July 2nd meeting.
So with his normal clairvoyance, Mr. Rawls has sensed what you needed to do, and we just need to delete this from the agenda.
I think that would be better.
Thank you. All right.
Keep that awareness in front of you today. I might have some other suggestions.
anything on page 10? Page 11. I'd like to ask the city attorney on 17N, given the fact that this is calling an election for Wave Yard, I had a conflict on Wave Yard. I'm assuming I have a conflict on calling the election.
Yes, Vice Mayor, that would be my recommendation.
Okay, so that needs to be pulled off of the consent agenda, and I'll turn the meeting over to Councilmember Whalen to conduct the meeting at that point.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. My question is ballot language. Where are we on ballot language?
The ballot language has not yet been completed. Councilmember Whalen, I believe it's due in mid-July to the county. And I don't have the date right in front of me today.
I have the date if you'll give me just a couple of minutes here, a couple seconds.
Also, ballot arguments, if you could help us out on that too, as to when they're due.
As far as the ballot language, is due by July 24th. And the first day, or the last day to file a pro-con argument, Councilmember Whalen, is August 8th by 5 o'clock.
And to vote court. In this election, you have to be registered by when?
The resolution says October 8th, 2007.
Okay. Any other questions on the ballot? We're responsible for the ballot language?
Yes.
And so that would have to be, that would have to come back to the council by that July date for our approval?
Councilmember Whalen, not necessarily. That the statute does not indicate that it has to be approved by the council. It is the city clerk's responsibility, and the city clerk works with the city attorney's office. We generally advise the council. If you'd like us to bring it back at some point before that.
That's nice. Just wanted to clarify. Rex?
I would appreciate just seeing the ballot language before it appears on the ballot. I've gotten surprises in the past that were written, by lawyers that the average person on the street could not understand what we were voting on. I would like to have some human language in there, too.
Councilmember Whalen, Councilmember Griswold, we do that. We either bring it forward at a council meeting and let the council know, or we at least advise the council in advance with an opportunity to respond if you choose. We just haven't had time to get the ballot language drafted yet.
That's fine. Just as much we could get advanced, look over it, make comments, and have it redone with your permission.
In this particular election, rather than the three questions we had on Riverview, will we just have one?
That's correct. Riverview had some referendum issues as well. This one does not.
And a yes vote will be for approval, and a no vote will be for non-approval.
That's correct. A yes vote will be affirming the council's approval of the development agreements or the economic incentives. A no vote would be rejecting the project.
I asked that only, it sounds stupid, but I've seen some that yes, no, people didn't know what they were doing. Any other issues that could be put on this election other than this issue?
Not that we have seen at this point, Councilman Whalen.
Okay. Anything else?
So, Councilman Whalen, council members, our last meeting of this council would be July 9th. So I don't know how many meetings you're going to need before you get comfortable with the language. So we need to be bringing that to you pretty quickly. So,
if you want it brought back at a meeting, as opposed to we would send a memo to you if it's we're still working on it between the 9th and the due date.
I'm comfortable with the memo, and if there's any problems, I guess we could post it.
Okay.
That was going to be my suggestion. Give us a memo. Let us try to massage it. And then if we have any council member, I think, who has problems with the language, I'd be able to ask the mayor to put it on the July 9th meeting for resolution. But I don't anticipate that. But it would be nice to have the ability to review it ahead of time.
Anything else?
Typically, Councilmember Whalen, I send you a memo that does provide the ballot language. I also put in that memo about the argument deadline date, the registration cutoff. So you'll have a memo that covers quite a bit of information on the election.
Anything else? Vice Mayor.
Thank you. Councilmember Rawls.
Thank you, Mayor. Item 17K and L, I'd like to have taken off the consent agenda.
Okay. Anything else on page 11? We've got a couple of projects on there that are RTP projects. Councilmember Summers, did you have one?
12. Did we get there?
Yes, go ahead. Page 12.
Well, 11 and 12. 19 and 20A. And Debbie, maybe this is just a legal question about language, but 19 asks us to repeal and replace a certain section of the Grass to Xeriscape program, and 20A just talks about repealing that particular section. Do we have to add anything in there about? Or add another one for replacing that language? Or is this sufficient?
Vice Mayor, Councilmember Summers, this is sufficient. They're both on the consent agenda, so it's actually going to be a simultaneous repeal one and adopt the second, or the replacement.
Okay, so 19 would be adopting a new ordinance?
Correct.
As opposed to just discussing, so it doesn't have to be under an item under 20?
No, it does not. And the reason for that is we are both adopting an ordinance and a resolution. Oh, I'm sorry, I just had the wrong one. And I guess I might turn to staff. My recollection, I'd have to check this. My recollection is we're turning this into a policy as opposed to we're repealing the ordinance and we are adopting a policy.
That makes sense.
So a policy doesn't have to be by ordinance.
Yes, Debbie, that's correct. It's Donna DeFrancesco in Utilities Conservation, and we are just looking at it being a program and not no longer an ordinance.
Okay, that makes sense then. All right, thank you.
Okay, on page 12, on item 20C, we call that a residential development tax. I just want us to remind everybody that residential development tax has to do with trash cans, you know, blue barrels, black barrels, green barrels, things like that.
That's correct, Vice Mayor.
Okay. I really think we should have a different name for that, but Councilmember Rawls.
I do too, because when I saw that I voted for that, though, I looked at the backup, I was going, I can't believe I voted for that in the committee. And then I realized I remembered that it was about the barrel sizes and the charge.
Yeah, it shocked me when you voted for it too. I looked down there and said, wow.
3-0.
3-0, yeah. Councilmember Griswold, did you have another one on that page?
Yeah. Can we legally change the name by Monday or whatever we do? Because this is a very misleading name on there rather than recycling barrel fee or whatever it is.
It has something to do with what we call it. We have to be very careful because there's only certain
issues. I think it's a legal term, and we've been using that maybe for close to 10 years.
Well,
I'm not sure
why. We could put in brackets, describe what it is after the title, and then just describe
it'd be far better. We mislead people a lot.
Let me ask our tax attorney, Jack Schaefer, or Donna, to come up and
Jack says, Donna, if I'm going up, you're going too.
This isn't it.
We're a team this morning.
See, this is typical, though. We just solved the problem, and now the lawyers are going to speak.
So do we vote yes or no?
The question is, can we change the name? I've not been involved with that issue before. I would, Debbie, what's...
That's a good one.
Mayor, my understanding is that it's just a notice issue, and since the ordinance has already been adopted, I mean, already been introduced, we would have to go back through the introduction process. But there isn't, other than that process, there isn't a legal issue with changing the name.
But there wouldn't be a problem with changing, I mean, writing in there a description, even though we've, because we aren't changing what's actually being introduced, we could put a descriptor on the line.
Oh, if you just want to change the agenda, we could do that.
Yeah, in the agenda or in the council report, there's no problem at all changing it. If we're going to change the ordinance, we would need to reintroduce with the change.
Okay, well then let's just put it in the agenda. Let's just put something off to the side in the agenda. But I would suggest that we look at changing this for the future.
I would.
Because it really is a misleading name. I mean, when you see that it's actually purchasing.
And Vice Mayor Walters, staff has discussed that, and I believe that the current ordinance has introduced plans for a annual review of these fees, and not this year, but perhaps in the future, we will be coming back with addressing that issue.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Griswold.
I would appreciate next few months to bring it back and just change it so we don't have to go through this next year and explain to people what it is and why it is and have misleading terms when people read, newspapers read, and you go, what is this? I think truth in labeling, I'm a big fan of, so.
Yeah, and Jack, why don't you talk a little bit about the history? There was some issue about whether we could call it a fee versus a tax.
Yes, and I can see the subject says solid waste residential development tax. Maybe that's as simple as that. It is the solid waste residential development tax, and it reflects the impact of growth household by household. And if you look at the report, it breaks it down such that it even includes the additional growth trucks, as we call them, and breaks them down per household. And why it's called a tax and not an impact fee, I really don't know going way back 10 years ago. But I could see us simply calling it a solid waste residential development tax and probably describing it well enough to be able to differentiate between all the other things that we're doing.
Well, and the mayor's sitting here saying, just throw the word solid waste in there. I mean, that alone would make
a huge
difference.
Yeah, I see that right now. Solid waste residential development tax. It sounds like it.
What's misleading, though, is not a tax to everyone.
Right.
It's only for the new resident. It's actually impact closer fee. To an impact fee.
Again, I've
and
always
that's just
thought
be, and fee. So that's the difficulty is that the title is not necessarily very reflective of what we're trying to accomplish here.
Exactly. It sounds like we're all on the same page on this, so I would suggest that staff figure out some way of renaming this so it really reflects what it's doing, Donna.
Vice Mayor, in light of this issue, my understanding is it could be delayed a couple of weeks. We could take it back, change it, reintroduce it, and do this all now.
No.
All right.
I mean, my opinion is no. Anybody here on the council disagree? I think we're just saying on a going forward basis.
I'm just responding to Councilmember Griswold's.
Oh, right. I think he was talking about changing the name for the future. Is that right, Rex?
We could pass this, and in 6, 8, 12 weeks, whatever, you can come back and change the name from now on of what this is going to be called. So next year you don't go through this. I don't think we have to hold up this. I think people here understand, hopefully the newspapers understand, and people watching TV understand, but, you know, this is for new people coming in to pay for our expanded garbage trucks, to pay for new waste cans you have to buy, etc. So current people don't subsidize new growth. It makes perfect sense to me, even to Mr. Rawls, but I would like to, I'd like to have the name match what we're doing. Thank you.
I don't know how Tom feels about saying that it makes sense, but does it mean other things don't make sense to you? All right. Anything else on page 12? We've beaten that one up sufficiently. Page 13.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Page 14. Councilmember Summers.
Actually, I went ahead. I'm on 20. L.
Go right ahead.
John, this is the one I was confused about earlier.
And I'm looking at my map, and what I'm looking at are county parcels that do not, that perhaps are not, you can't access them from power. So, and I'm not sure that 185th Street actually gets up to Ray, does it?
Vice Mayor, Councilmember Summers, yes, 185th does get up to Ray, so they have access that's available. It's not the best access, and we are working with each of these developments as they come through to help coordinate cross-access agreements.
What's that road like right now, 185th? Is that dirt? Is it little one lane? Is it more like an alley than a street? Or
Councilmember Summers, I've never actually driven on it. I've seen it from Ray as I've driven by, and I don't remember exactly what condition that's in, but it has provided the access to those lots for some years.
I have no objection to this development. Well, I just have some concern about the lots behind it and making sure that they will continue to have access.
On the Vice Mayor, Councilmember Summers, on the site plan, in the packet, let's find maybe a better number, page 6, make sure I'm orienting it correctly. The site plan shows the cross-access with the property to the north, and I believe we also worked out one for the east, or maybe it was one of the north has one going that direction, but it is an issue that we've been looking at as these projects have been coming through, so they can provide that continued access in the area.
Okay, and those properties that are to the east, are those in the city right now?
Yes.
Okay, and the fire department, because I'm looking at one of our fire chiefs over here, has seen this plan and they don't have any concern about access back there, or they might have had problems with the access as it exists right now. I'm just curious that they've seen this plan, there's going to have access for in and out.
Vice Mayor, Councilmember Summers, part of our review process does include fire plans reviewers looking at those types of issues and addressing them as we go through. We're certainly not making it any worse, and we hope we're making things better.
Any of these lots non-conforming from the county? Are they all conform? They all have access to a street somewhere.
Again, there are these ones that you're talking about that their only access was up 185th to Ray.
Okay. I see a partial map, and there looks to be a piece of property here that doesn't have access to any road at all. And maybe this is something that you and I need to talk about afterwards and just point them out. And they may have access beyond the map that we were given. Just want to make sure that we're looking at that issue. So,
Vice Mayor, Councilmember, we did inherit some interesting situations here when we annex this.
Interesting is one way to put it, right? Okay, thank you.
Okay, anything else on pages 14 or 15? Moving on to page 16, we're going to do something really fun that we hardly ever get to do, which is hear appeals from, there was no sense of sarcasm there when I was speaking, hear appeals from the Design Review Board and some planning and zoning cases. I have one question, Mike, before I turn it over to you. On 21B, is there a legal protest on this? I know that there were petitions filed, so did that constitute a legal protest?
Vice Mayor, it's not a legal protest in terms of what we typically see. A year or so ago, when we amended the ordinance to allow the P&Z Board to take final action on site plans, it provided for the opportunity for appeal of those decisions to this board. And that's what this is. It's the first of those that we've had. So it's that appeal, but it does not constitute the legal protest requirement.
And why does it not constitute a legal protest? Ms. Spinner, what's the legal difference there between, I mean, could someone have filed a legal protest previous to our putting this system in place? Could they have filed a legal protest on something like this?
They had a right to build it.
Vice Mayor, I might turn to John, because I haven't been very involved in the procedural history of these cases. I'm prepared to talk about the appeal process and the council standard of review, but I haven't gone back through the procedural history.
Vice Mayor, there does provide for the protest at the P&Z level, so that protest would carry forward. I will double check before Monday to see. I believe the people who signed the letter were outside the 150 feet, so why we haven't classified it as the legal protest. But let me check on that just in case that would be a requirement for Monday also.
All right, I'd appreciate that. Also, if for some reason 21B, if we find, Debbie, if we find that we're going to rule against P&Z on the site plan, then does 21C become moot?
Vice Mayor, while she's thinking about that, I would say yes. That's why we ordered them this way in the agenda, because if you do decide to deny the site plan, there's no need to consider the DR case because that building wouldn't be on the agenda anymore.
And Gordon wants to weigh in on this.
Vice Mayor, Council members, in the modification, site plan modification section, protest votes do carry forward from the Planning and Zoning Board to the Council. So the Council would be required to have a three-quarter vote in this case.
Because was there a legal protest on it?
Well, that's what we need to find out. If there was the protest filed at the P&Z level, the protest would carry forward to Council according to code.
Well, then the question becomes, if there was not a legal protest at P&Z, but the position exists that a person could file a legal protest, can they now file one even though they didn't file one at P&Z?
That, Mayor, Vice Mayor, we'll look at that, but by the ordinance, it would have had been filed by last Monday to be effective, so they couldn't do it at this point.
And Vice Mayor, my initial reaction now is I'll go back and look at it, but we would have to take a look at it. But the code that deals with the Council's review of an appeal from the Planning and Zoning does not include any provisions for filing of a legal protest. It simply says that if any citizen wants to appeal the decision of the Planning and Zoning decision to the Council, they may do that.
Okay. All right, that makes sense. All right, Mr. Whalen.
You want to let him talk?
Actually, Rob is here because he's an applicant, and so usually we just wait until Monday night and hear at that point in time, but you're certainly welcome to talk with staff after the meeting if you have some questions remaining.
I just wanted to comment on the protest issue.
Which, if you'll talk to staff after the meeting, Rob, that would be great.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. My question is just for Debbie, and I think you're prepared to do this, is what kind of criteria, especially in reference to 21A, are we bound by on the appeal?
Vice Mayor, Councilmember Whalen, 21A is an appeal from the Design Review Board, and it comes before you to determine, is the plan that was submitted by the applicant consistent with the design guidelines? And it is a de novo review by the Council. You can take a look at the evidence, you can hear from the applicant, you can hear from the staff, and you can weigh the evidence that's presented to you to answer that question.
It can modify, add, delete.
Yes, absolutely. You can affirm, deny, or modify in any way the decision of the Design Review Board.
Can we send it back?
If you need further information and you want further recommendation on a particular point that was not addressed at the Design Review Board, you can send it back for their recommendation on that particular item as well.
Okay. And the words de novo means as if it were brand new.
Yes, I apologize. Yes. Okay.
Thank you. Councilmember Rawls.
It's with a great deal of sadness that I have to declare a conflict on 21A. This is part of the Riverview project. It's actually probably closest to the land owned by my employer, so being consistent, I will not participate in the decision.
Nice side. Good drama.
Your son's been teaching you acting, I see. Councilmember Griswold.
On 21B and 21C, it's sort of interesting. As I understand this, this building is built by right. They have the right to do what they're doing. The neighborhood one is they're building a fairly good-looking but modernistic glass building in an all-southwest neighborhood next to an elementary school and across street from neighbors. That's your core issue that people are upset. It's a great-looking building. It's a good neighborhood. It brings some traffic next to an elementary school. It was poorly designed, so the only access is right next to the elementary school coming in. Because we didn't make, as I recommended a couple of years ago, access from the neighboring mall that was built there into this little corner property. So this problem is coming at us fairly heavily on traffic, and it's coming from the neighbors, the looks of the building. If you look at the building, it's a wonderful building. The neighbors just figure this glass thing doesn't belong in their neighborhood, and why does it look like that? So that's what you're hearing, as I understand. But yes, they're building something that's zoned for, and the right to build, and the size, et cetera, of what they have to build. So read it through, decide, and it's a very interesting one.
Okay, anything else on this page? Councilmember Rawls.
I'd like 22 taken off the consent agenda, please.
Okay. Are we doing a presentation on 22? Is that part of our study session agenda? No? Okay. And let me just make a note on 21A, which is the Riverview one, and Kyle will be back that evening. This has been an interesting case because I know that several of us, or I should say at least I, have been getting some emails about the palm trees. The palm tree issue was actually a negative issue when the palm trees went in on the other side, and the neighbors who are the immediately adjacent neighbors who are immediately adjacent to this office complex were told that we would relook at whether or not there would be palm trees all the way along. They were very concerned about what that would do. So I just want to get that out on the table right now. This is a different, this is not retail, this is office. They are referencing the palm tree theme that's in the Riverview retail development they are doing with clustering palm trees rather than continuing the palm trees all the way along. We now have some folks in the neighborhood who are saying we really want them all the way along. These are not the immediately adjacent neighbors who are saying that. These are people who live in the broader neighborhood in the Mesa Grande area. And so that's one of the issues that we're dealing with right now. So we'll be hearing that on Monday night, and I imagine that this will be interesting since it's been a very long time in my recollection since we've had an appeal from design review. And I think it's the first time we've had an appeal on a site plan since we put that process into place. Councilmember Whalen.
Is this just for the offices, or does this impact the hotel also?
I believe it also impacts the hotel. It doesn't say that. On some of the backup, it said the hotel. Mr. Udall, can you nod your head? Is it the hotels?
Actually, the hotel who's not represented by me, unfortunately, failed to file the appeal.
Okay.
So it is only the office building.
So it's the office building. Okay.
So the requirement then from DRB is that the hotel has palm trees also.
There are palm trees on that plan, but they don't have the responsibility for the whole strip that goes out to Alma School Road.
Okay.
John, did you want to add something else in there? Okay. Anything else on this page? All right. We'll move on to page 17, and these are subdivision plats, and we're done. Back to you, Mayor.
That's it.
Hey, it didn't even take us an hour. Come on.
There will be five people voting for that design review appeal then, because I would have had a conflict anyway.
Yeah.
So it takes a three-quarter. What's the number?
No, it's just majority vote, Mayor.
That one's majority only? Okay.
It's not illegal.
All right. That would have been an interesting number.
Yeah.
Item number two is hear a presentation, discuss, and provide direction on the senior center lease. We also have this one posted to enter into an executive decision if council so desires to talk about this. Is there we're going to have some discussion. Is there a motion to enter into executive, Vice Mayor?
I'd like to make the motion that we go into executive session because we are still in a contract negotiation mode here. I think that there's some value when you're negotiating a contract to not having that discussion publicly. So I will make a motion that we go into executive session.
Okay. Tom?
I think before you do that, you need to recess a study session, convene a special session, special meeting, and then allow the motion.
I'll follow that procedure. I'm on number two here. I just want to know if you want to go through the study session or whether you want to go to executive.
I'm happy to go to.
Okay, then let's go ahead and adjourn the council study session and call a special meeting to order.
Mayor, if I might correct you, you're recessing the study session for purposes of calling a special council meeting as opposed to adjourning the study session.
Exactly what I meant.
I prefer an adjournment, actually, because I really don't want to do number three. So I move to adjourn.
Does anyone else have any suggestions? Okay, we are... going to adjourn the study session.
No, recess.
Mayor, I'm not sure what the comment is, but let me just clarify. The study session agenda at the bottom says, during and or after the study session, the mayor and council may recess the study session and convene a special council meeting for purposes of entering into an executive session. Items to be discussed at the executive session are listed on a separate agenda. The intent here was to provide council the opportunity, if it so chose, at this time to enter into an executive session for purposes of discussing those items that are listed on the special council meeting. There are two that the council may discuss in the executive session and is for purposes of discussion or consultation with designated representatives of the city in order to consider the city's position and instruct the city representatives regarding negotiations for the purchase, sale, or lease of real property. There are two items there. One is the Mesa Senior Center, and the second is 225 and 227 East Main Street. So the issue for council now is, do you want to, at this time, recess the study session in order to enter into or convene a special council meeting for purposes of entering into an executive session?
Okay. And we've had some discussion, and the direction appears to be going to a recess and convene an executive session. But let's take votes to those effect and get that confirmed. I would like to then see if the council would like to recess the study session and convene a special council meeting for the purposes of entering into executive session. Councilmember Griswold.
But any decisions we make, that would just be getting information from attorneys, et cetera. Any decisions we make would be made out here, and we'd vote on it openly, et cetera. So there wouldn't be any difference except attorney's advice. Thank you.
All right.
I'll make the motion that we do that.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. We have recessed the study session, and we are convening a special council meeting. I need a motion now to enter into executive session from the special council meeting.
Uh-huh.
All right. Second? Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. We are in a special council meeting that is convened into executive session, so we will go into executive session. A special council meeting, and we are giving staff direction to continue to negotiate the. Pardon? I was going to report on why we were in the special council meeting, what the discussion was, and what the action is, and then we'll adjourn it and go back to study session. So, all right. So the staff has been given direction to continue to negotiate the terms of the lease. This has to do with the Mesa Senior Center, and then to return to the council with their receptivity to some suggestions that were made. So that being done, I'd like to entertain a motion to adjourn the special council meeting.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Special council meeting is adjourned. We will go back then to the study session agenda items. Item number two, it was to hear a presentation, discuss and provide direction on the senior center. That was part of the executive session, so that lease terms and conditions will be negotiated and brought back to council.
Mayor, before we go forward with the study session, if I might just ask for council consider a motion to reconvene the study session.
Okay. Can I entertain a motion to reconvene? Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. We have reconvened then. Item number two, as we've talked about in the executive session, is still a lease that's under consideration, so those negotiations will continue. Item number three is to hear a presentation, discuss and provide direction on zoning code updates. Tom.
Mayor, while everybody's getting ready to proceed, let me sort of make a caveat here. I appreciate the extra time that we were given to study the issues and options paper. I have to tell you, it was the single most difficult piece of reading I have engaged in a very, very long time, both because of its technicality and because of the substance from my standpoint. For me, this is very much like redrafting the Communist Manifesto to just move a little bit more toward freedom than it is to I'd rather do a strike all amendment, quite frankly, but that's a different issue. But I do want people to know that I'm going to participate to some extent, but I'm going to Chile in August, so I have my Birds of Chile book. I'm going to Jamaica in October. I have my Birds of the West Indies book, and I'm going to Kenya next year, and I have my Birds of East Africa book. So I won't be bored while we go, but I won't be participating all the time, but I will to some extent.
All right. Okay, how do we proceed after that comment? So let's see.
Mayor,
I know we've had the issues and options paper. Appreciate the work that went into that, and these are technical issues, but I appreciate trying to stay up with whatever the gives the most flexibility, but also has some sense of community that's been planned.
Mayor and Gordon, just quickly, I want to make sure that we spend the time the way the council wants to spend the time this morning. So it looks like we have a more than extensive PowerPoint, which I'm not sure that we need to go through entirely. If there's things the council maybe has a preference for, we could go through it, but I really want this to be the opportunity for the council to have dialogue with the staff, with the consultant about specific issues. If you prefer, we can go through the PowerPoint. If there's just some specific issues the council is most interested in, whether it's certain sections or content, maybe that would be more beneficial to the council. But we know you have limited time. We have limited opportunities to be in front of the consultant. So maybe, unless there's something real specific maybe the council wants to address, we could do that right off. So I want to kind of open that up as an opportunity for the council too.
Anyone have any opening kind of remarks on direction that they're looking for on this? I think the concept of having new arterials that have bus rapid transit or transit related, especially as the car dealerships from US 60 that used to be on Main Street or moving to the freeways, there's going to be a lot of large parcels that are going to come available over the next, some of already have. And we also have the light rail coming down Main Street and then extending out with a high capacity transit study that's going through downtown area that's funded under Prop 400, so the voters have approved that. So we know in some manner that's going to come forward. So those larger parcels of land, how they could incorporate something more unique than just what we might have in the past on either chopping them up into small areas, something comprehensive, the live-work-play type of concept, I think is something that seems to be catching on in other urbanized areas, and to make sure that our zoning will encompass that and allow for that to take place. That's one that I can see coming for sure. So that has an interest for me to make sure that's pursued. The other would probably just be some of the infill parcels that have been, to make sure that the infill is as attractive, if not more so, than to continue to run out to the edge of the community and do areas that are again skipped because it's raw land versus an infill one that may have some other constraints. How can we work with some of those constraints to make sure that they're as attractive, if not more so, than those on the perimeter of the community? And I guess the other one that I would have has to do with some of how do we work with some of the county island annexation issues as they come in with non-compliant zoning. Just how do you bring some in so that it's better than them not coming into the city at all? There's some inducement and reason to do it, but not so expensive that they have to bring everything up to code with the streets and the water and all the rest. It would be almost financially prohibitive for a lot of them to do that, as opposed to, again, jump out to the edge of the community. So those are the ones that kind of came to mind for me. And I know that there was some work done that I've read about having a large section of land, sections the GM Proving Ground area in particular that may have a unique type of development plan that would build in more flexibility for the developer while still protecting the core arrival and departure routes and the kind of the overall concept of what we have for the gateway area. So those are kind of my four that I was more interested in than some of the others. Right. Anyone else want to? Scott?
Just to bounce off that, Mayor, because I have an interest, obviously, in the GM Proving Grounds and how that develops out, is to see, and also I'm very interested in downtown and the redevelopment down here. And I guess we're, what I'm interested in is mixed use as opposed to mix of use, which I like to say. And that's just, okay, maybe that's just me. But a mixed-use development to me is not having a couple residential units over here and then mixing some buildings around it that are for jobs. Mixed use requires vertical zoning, and so vertical zoning is something that I'm interested in seeing both for the GM area and for downtown and some other areas where it may be specific.
Okay. There's one other concept that I'm not sure that it has council concurrence yet, so I'll discuss it in that manner, and that has to do with, as we do our zoning, if we had something on our major transit corridors that are part of Prop 400 that are going to be here for a while, that maybe we could do some of the parking requirements and stuff less to have another incentive for people that were encouraged to live on transit routes. And then we could have higher, more frequency, better routes, do some of them well as opposed to, again, doing the whole city poorly. That type of concept. In it.
Sure.
Okay. Vice Mayor. Well, let's see. Scott, do you have anything else? All right. Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. I am very interested in looking at the options for LEED standards, things that would allow for, and I'm looking specifically at page 53 of the report, item 4D. It talks about providing incentives for green buildings. This council, in so many ways, has been about sustainability. I mean, economically, we've been about sustainability. That's what our plans have been. And I think the whole issue of energy efficiency talks about sustainability in the community as well. And so I think you've outlined a few ways here that we could address that without giving an outright financial incentive, some, you know, potentially some bonus densities, potentially expedited permits. Where are we headed with that? And I don't know that the council's really given direction on that, but I would like to see something.
Okay. First of all, let me introduce Michael Diet. I didn't get the chance to do that. Michael's our consultant for the zoning code update. Go ahead.
Well, we can certainly, and I appreciate your support of that incentives, and there's a lot of experience we're working with in many other cities, and I think developing these ideas with staff in the PNZ could really make this a green code if that's what the council would want to have.
Well, I'm very interested in that. I need to understand the financial implications of it. But I think that the financial implications include more than just upfront cost. I think you have to look at the whole, you know, long-term aspect of cost.
I don't view it as a city obligation. It's really making sure that there are no standards or procedures in place that stand in the way of this. So
okay,
you're
then
welcoming.
You and I are on the same page.
Great.
All right.
That's how we'll do it.
Okay. Then we're in exactly the same place on that. In terms of infill, we've had, and I noticed you have in your PowerPoint, you wanted to talk about that a little bit. You know, that's one of my passions, and I appreciate what the mayor said about infill. I agree with what he said about infill. So how are we going to get past this issue of the skip, the dip? Are we just going to keep them? Where are we headed with all of this?
Well, I think our current thinking is to keep those two procedures, but see if we can add some specific standards so that instead of having to go through a process, you set right out front in the code some standards for infill development. And you may not even map it. You may say that all the land except for the growth areas is potentially infill, and then be clear on what is it that you are doing to relax the standards for infill development that picks up what Mr. Summers was saying, it's really mixed use. Some cities have said infill is not big box retail. Infill is not large single-story buildings. But for infill to get some special treatment, to be able to come under these other options, we want to see some mixed use. We will reduce some of these other standards, but come up with something, the development community comes up with something that is more urban. So you're not giving special treatment to, again, the large format retail, which isn't really infill, but you're trying to say this would be a conscious policy decision that the infill, so the reuse of some of these older shopping centers in these older areas so they become more vibrant. But we're viewing this approach as a complement to take what the state says in terms of infill and complement the existing dip and skip procedures. Don't throw them away.
So you don't see a process that eliminates some of the, you know, allows more uses without having to go to Board of Adjustments, that streamlines the process a bit more? And I'm sort of looking at Gordon on this one.
The couple of different ways to do this is a possibility of an overlay district, and that's what he was referring to in terms of not mapping something. We wouldn't do an overlay district if we didn't map it, but if we did map some things, then we could provide differing standards, we could provide differing processes, we could provide exceptions that are done on an administrative basis rather than going through the Board of Adjustment or having to go through P&Z. We can build those things into the code so that some of the regulatory hurdles that people are going through now, trying to justify a dip, trying to justify a skip, trying to justify variances or special use permits, they don't necessarily have to do that. But we have that option available is kind of a fail-safe when these other things don't work.
And I'm very interested in this overlay concept. You know, we're a very large city, and we have unique areas. We've outlined some of them actually in our zoning. We have special areas of special interest. That's not what they're called, but you know what I'm talking about.
The sub-area plans.
Sub-area plans and the areas of unique character. And if you put an overlay, and one that I've been working with Gordon on is this issue of people who have animal properties. So if you can take those overlays and just put them over the areas that are the animal properties in the city and deposit the overlay on there so that we don't have to go through, so we have a consistent thing we're dealing with there, and we don't have so many, we need an exception here for this, an exception there for that. We recognize that there are outbuildings that are related to having animals that you need a place to store the feed. You need different things than you would need in a normal R145 or an R190 neighborhood. And so those kinds of things, I hope, are being incorporated.
Yes.
The code will allow us to do that.
Yes, they will.
And not potentially go through a hearing officer or use some other,
right.
or actually have it defined in the overlay district that certain things are acceptable in the overlay district so you don't even have to go through.
There's a section that Michael has suggested, and I'm kind of grabbing hold of the concept also, of administrative exceptions, where that the standard is one thing, and for 85%, 90% of the city, that's what you would follow. But if there are certain justification or certain reasons that are present, and those are spelled out in the exception section of the ordinance, then they could qualify for this administrative exception process where the zoning administrator, the planning director, or some administrative authority would be able to take a look at that and say, yes, you qualify for this, sign off on it, and there is no hearing. Or there might be a petition that might be signed by neighbors to make sure that they jump on board and make sure that works. But not to try to do it without necessarily having to go through a hearing on everything.
But in some instances, I'm thinking even not even that process, that it's a use by right. Yeah. in a certain overlay district. Are you thinking along those lines?
We can do
as well?
That. Yes, we can. And I think that the strength of using the map, as you pointed out, is it really simplifies administration because you know where the areas are.
Yeah.
And then what the rules are. So part of what we'd be trying to do there is really clarify the city's expectations and simplify the procedures and the rules ahead of time
So a lot of that is part of this cleanup that we'd be doing.
One of the questions that came up as a result of this was, okay, that's fine because you have Lehigh that you can sort of outline, although we all know Lehigh is also a state of mind, there actually is a place, and you can outline that, but there are other pockets that came in from the county. There's one down on Lindsay and the US 60 right near there. It's a horse area. There's an area that's over almost on the Tempe border. It's a very small area, and the question that was raised was, can we put an overlay on that area that we know that it's very small? Can we take that same overlay and say rural, urban-rural overlay, or you know, whatever you yep. want to call it? That is possible.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, Mayor, those are my questions for right now.
Okay. Other council members? Rex?
I was real, you may be surprised to hear this, I've been real pleased with the results of the process. I know I've been a big critic of 1970 zoning laws and having to operate under them, et cetera. I think this brings us way forward to being a modern city that you can do business in and do it easier. And we're competing with cities that have done this before, and it's easier to build there. And we lose business and good projects, et cetera, because you have to go through variance after variance to get to some of the good projects here. So I like what I see. I think you're going in a good direction. I had a, I have a few questions on there, but I just want to wait until the process goes forward. The main thing I want to see is the process improved, where you can go through quicker, easier, and faster. It's a very laborious process now, linear, not parallel, some other things that we can do. And as much as we can keep people out of the process and don't, simple things, you know, PAD and Arizona rooms shouldn't have to go through planning and zoning. I mean, simple things that are home that are clogging up the whole system that we force into the system now because of whatever it is. If you don't go outside your current building envelope to do it, it doesn't end up in planning and zoning, and a zoning person has to spend a lot of time on it. So those systems-oriented processes I'm going to be very interested in, and I like some of the things you're starting to do here.
Thank you.
Mayor, I had mentioned earlier the idea of vertical zoning, and I wanted to ask you that question specifically. Is that, I don't have my copy, is that in here?
Yes, it is.
Okay, specifically. So we can have, and that idea is to have, like you see in other large urban areas, businesses on the ground floor, residential units above that.
Yes.
Or other uses.
Yes, we specifically say we will develop a new some mixed-use zoning that would be appropriate.
Terrific. Thank you.
Okay.
I do have another one. Gordon and I, Gordon was talking to me about a concept that I found really interesting, and that is that we have areas right now that have really significantly aged. Mesa is a growing community, and it's an aging community. And those areas, sometimes people are choosing not to reinvest in the area because they can't remodel given their current lot size and our current standards. They can't get to a place of remodeling in a way that makes it feasible for them to keep their family there. And so Gordon was talking about some ideas, and I don't think everybody else heard those, Gordon, because you and I were sitting on a bus going on a tour when you were telling me about it, but it was right. It was a very exciting concept for me. And I'm not clear, Mayor, on what the decision process here is. We're throwing things out, like I talked about green standards. You know, that was me. Well, how do we get to a direction process where other people say, heck no, I don't agree with her on that, or I don't agree with that person on that. So I guess that's the other question I have tying into that.
And I think the direction, obviously, it comes down to when we adopt, but it also, you're trying to figure out whether you've got four to write it in that way this morning. So,
Mr. Mayor, if I may, we have outlined some main recommendations, sub-recommendations in the transmittal to you. Staff pointed out that we're not going to move forward with a couple of recommendations that actually had emerged from the interviewing, the change in PNZ and DRB and things like that. So there are three or four recommendations we're not going to move forward with. And I guess what would help us, if there are any other recommendations that you want us to drop now, otherwise we will try to develop the detail and work with PNZ on as we move forward in the next step. But we're definitely dropping the recommendations that were listed in the staff memorandum.
And if there are any others that you don't want us to work on, we would drop those as well.
Or do you want to review those again? Yeah, the village?
That was probably the one memo I didn't bring. The it's the bottom of page 3 of that.
Yeah, thank you.
The items we were looking to drop was the one recommendation to merge the design review board and P&Z into one development review board, to merge the downtown development committee with P&Z, and rather keep DDC and keep P&Z separate as we do now, keep DR and keep P&Z separate as we do now. And then the third one had to do with implementing a full-scale village planning committee model, similar to what Phoenix does now. Rather, we would have kind of a loose organization of sub-area committees, so to speak, that would be available so when development did come into that area, the developer could talk to those folks, gain advice from that standpoint, but it wouldn't necessarily be a formal process where they had to go to the village planning committee, had to get a recommendation, and then that recommendation would be forwarded to P&Z as well as to council when the case eventually got to council. So we were going to drop those based on the comments that we had heard from P&Z when we presented those recommendations to P&Z.
Okay. Scott? Would the village concept be throughout the city or just certain areas like downtown and along the GM Proving Ground area?
If we would do it at a full-scale basis, we would have a village planning committee. We'd have to organize the city into villages first, but each village would have a planning committee, and it would be citywide.
However, the alternative idea is to just have this as part of the citizen participation
Correct.
Process that could be done, and we wouldn't develop in this code a full-scale process, and that is the way we're leaning at this point. Phoenix and a couple of other communities have this more formal process, but what we heard is don't go that far. And use, if you do, use the area planning process that's already in place.
How would this differ from the public input process that we have now?
The only real difference, Mr. Summers, would be that you would probably have kind of a standing committee based on the sub-areas that you would refer to that would be available when big projects would come up in that particular sub-area.
So I'd like to get some more information on that because I'm not quite sure. It could be a benefit to this, but also it could just be another process that costs more money and costs more time. So I'm not entirely certain.
That's why we're not suggesting that it be developed as a full-scale substitute, but the option be folded in more informally. So we will have more information we can bring back to you as an option. We'll work with P&Z. But the feedback we got was to not make it, to not carry it forward as a full recommendation as it was written up in this paper.
And I also want that to maintain an open process for folks to come down and participate. I'd hate to create another board and then have citizens feel like they're pushed out of the process because we have another formal board of 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 people that are going to determine what happens here.
And so if I'm listening correctly, it sounds like you're kind of on the same page as P&Z. It's available as an option, and people can participate that way, but we wouldn't necessarily create standing village planning committees for everything across the city.
Could be. I don't know that I've selected a page yet. I still need to get some more information and read up some more on this particular point. And I have some interest in this because we have a lot of development going out
sure.
south of me. I could use some help. So, all right, thank you.
Okay. Tom? You asked if there were anything I didn't want, any of the recommendations that I was not in favor of pursuing. Several of them are refinements of things that I don't want to do in the first place. That's why I am taking more of a hands-off. But there are a couple of things that stick out at one is 5C on page 59, dealing with the creation of a voluntary inclusionary program, which I don't mind, but the involvement of any kind of incentive density bonus, any kind of anything that promotes or advocates or tries to provide specific direction by this council toward the creation of more low-income housing does not have my support. And on item 7B, which is on page 72 of the report dealing with historic preservation and protection, it talks about providing more comprehensive protections, basically more interference by government in people's rights to use their property the way they want, because we somehow feel that we have a right to have property maintained a certain way even though we don't own it. So I would not be in favor of 7B in any form either.
The talk about, in terms of refining this, I think we were trying to push more of the archaeological issue more than the historic issue. So if the person found some sort of archaeological important item on the property.
I understand that, and there are state laws that impact that, but there's the language of this paragraph. The first paragraph of 7B deals with you have to present a preservation plan, public assets, appropriate residential property. The second paragraph kind of talks about archaeological, but the first paragraph was focused more on what I believe you meant to be building preservation, et cetera, and I don't, particularly when you're talking about demolish, you don't demolish an archaeological site. I mean, you might dig in it, but you don't demolish it. So I think you were, this at least the way it read to me, was that you were focused also on buildings, and mm-hmm. I don't believe that society has a right to say you have to keep a building because it's old and because we like it. So again, that's just me, and that's why I have my books.
Okay. I actually have had marked 5C and 7B myself, but I think we would probably have a split vote on those items from this council if it came up for a hard vote. So that's my guess. It's either a 5-2 or a 4-3 vote on that one. Vice Mayor?
I don't know, Mayor. You might be surprised on the...
Well, let's try it. Let's.
I'm talking about specifically on the affordable housing issue.
5C.
Yeah, 5C.
I'd mark them both.
All right. Is there support on 5C?
Do we move it?
It sounds like you do not have the support from the council to proceed with any type of additional density bonus program.
Okay.
Specifically to low-income housing.
I understand that.
Right.
I'll take it off the list.
Yeah. And I think there's also been some prior discussions to make sure that any housing programs are sustainable long terms. I think we got bit pretty bad by some of the fourplexes that were built that were cheap and tax breaks, but were not sustainable, and now we have a bunch of housing that's subjective to deteriorate very rapidly on rental properties. Mm. So then the other one is 7B, the historic preservation. I kind of concur. It's if somebody wants to preserve it, they can go buy it and preserve it. But you shouldn't have to try to fight to have your neighbor's house preserved because you like it. So, but I'm not sure, again, how far that's going to go with this council. Vice Mayor?
Well, I'm probably in a little bit different place on 7B than I was on the previous one. And I do have some comments on the previous one. My issue on 7B isn't about your neighbor's house. It's about your own house. It's about what your agreements you're entering into in order to get historic status on your house. And I think if somebody is entering into those agreements, if they want that historic status, if we need to refine that, I'm okay with refining that. I would go back to the... May I reserve the right, Mayor, to go back to the previous one after we finish the discussion on this one? Thank you. I'm not going to change my mind. I want to comment on something I'd like to see instead.
All right, so let's follow up then on 7B. Any other comments on the preservation aspect? Rex?
Yeah, I think if you voluntarily want to get historic designation for your property, then there's some state statutes that cover it, and I think there's enough of those. If you don't want to do it, that's sort of a property's rights issue. I'm very much into preservation and the old building where the Buckhorn Baths right now. But this is a somewhat of a property value and a value right. And I think there is ordinances that cover it right now without going deeper.
There's actually something where you can get 50 signatures and petition to have something declared historic. I mean,
that was not the intent here. I think the intent here was to work in a voluntary basis in response to initiatives of property owners who might take advantage of these other programs, and then can the zoning give them some additional relief? A specific example might be that if you have a historic building, you've gone through and done the facade dedication, but you'd really like to have an office use on one floor to help pay for those issues. So is there some flexibility in the use of the property if you've entered into agreements with the state? And that is how some of these historic landmarks programs are set up. So they're voluntary at the initiative of the property owner to have zoning help them if they've already agreed to participate and want to participate in state and federal programs. So our idea here was to structure this to be supportive, to have a tool available. It certainly wouldn't be initiated by the city. It could be simply available for those who want landmark status and want to, you know, have a little flexibility in the uses so they can get the income stream to pay for the improvements.
I've seen a need for that. I've watched people move old buildings downtown at their own expense, nothing to do with our buildings when they did it, and it was just a miserable process for them. Variance after variance, and they nearly lost what they had, all their money in it, to have them do it. So, yeah, the flexibility, probably more flexibility for somebody who wants to do something, I think it would be a good thing if you did it that way, not a restrictive one, but a more permissive one.
That was my thinking, the same way there's a historic building code. Give them some relief where local government can help when they've already decided they have something of value, of historic value, and they want to participate.
Okay, thank you.
Tom? Let me say that I certainly favor the voluntary designation process if somebody wants to subject themselves to whatever the state, federal, local standards are, and they want to do that, that's fine. One of the problems with what we've been asked to do here is, and maybe this is the lawyer in me, is you've sort of given me issues, but I don't know what this code says on that issue now. I don't have the code as it exists lying alongside of me where I can say, well, this is what they want to change. All I have to go on is what you, I mean, I could go get the code, but then I would really have been asleep. But, I mean, I just look at this first paragraph and I hear what you're saying now, but that isn't the impression of what I got from this first paragraph, sir. I mean, I read that the applicant has to present a preservation plan that outlines the applicant's goals and provisions for public access. And so if with a residential, maybe that's only visual access, you say, but maybe I want to have a preserve a house, but I don't want everybody looking at it. I want to put trees in front. You're basically saying, well, the city, maybe you want to have standards that requires them to allow public visual access. That's a property rights issue to me. I wouldn't want to have that requirement in the code. That's what I read here. You also have public property, such as businesses, may have to have some form of visitation. You know, if I move my law office into a historic building, I don't want to conduct tours every Tuesday and Thursday at 3 o'clock. I want to run a business. This seems to be suggesting that we are going to have requirements that people provide some form of visitation. The next sentence talks about obtain a certificate of appropriateness. Wow. I mean, that just scares the bejeebers out of me to have somebody in government tell me what's appropriate if I want to remodel my house or business. So I don't mean to be disrespectful, but what I've heard said today is, and I have no problem with it, is a whole lot different than what I read. And so my objection is to what I read, but I don't now know what you're asking for permission to go forward and draft. If it's these kinds of restrictions and requirements, my answer continues to be no. If it's to give somebody the flexibility to install an office on the second floor of a historic building so that it can help pay for the preservation costs that he voluntarily entered into in order to obtain a historic designation, then that's fine. But and I know you don't have the language here, and I appreciate that, but that's my dilemma at the moment.
Well, I have been listening to the council members discuss this and was trying to formulate a modification to 7B that would be responsive to what I thought was the sense of the council as I've been listening to you today, and would want to come back with something that reflected the sense of the council, not the language that was written in here.
As long as there's a difference,
and we did
both recognize that there's a difference, then I don't have a problem with that.
Right, and we did get some P&Z input on this that we were also going to use. They, too, picked up a number of the concerns you have. So our thinking from the P&Z meeting as well was to refocus 7B on the voluntary program and not at all make it the way it was written, and I was going to explain that in my presentation. I'm glad I had a chance to do that now.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Claudia.
Can I go back and revisit issues under 5C?
I think anything else on 7B first? All right, go ahead.
Thank you. The issue here isn't that we don't, that I don't think for anybody, is that we think that people shouldn't have access to housing, but it's that we have an existing housing stock that's very diverse, and many of us feel that we have more than our fair share in the East Valley of the affordable housing. So it isn't, but I will say that I object to any language that says create housing that is available and affordable for all residents, because I don't know what that means. I mean, somebody has no money and I'm supposed to create housing that costs nothing. I mean, you know, we do have Section 8 housing through the federal government that provides vouchers, but obviously that's limited. And I'm not sure who residents are. Is it current residents of Mesa, future residents of Mesa, anybody who wants to come to Mesa who doesn't have housing? So I know we agreed, you know, got consensus from the council not to move forward on this, but there are issues that I think we could use some tools in here to address. And some of those are areas right now where we have what I would call our extremely affordable housing that frankly are getting run down, dilapidated, and I hesitate to give any addresses because in the past, anytime we've talked about anything, then people get stressed out that somehow the city's trying to knock down their building or do something to them. But there are places where I would like to encourage someone, provide an incentive for them to come in and tear down some of these, and maybe it's some of those old fourplexes that you're talking about, Mayor, or some of the very older housing stock. And Kyle's not here, but I'm thinking of a couple of places in his district where it might be a real benefit to the city, to the people who are living there, if we could give some bonus densities so that people could tear those down and create something that would be a greater benefit to the city. I am in favor of something like that. I drive past some of these places and I think, what is ever going to make it worthwhile for somebody to come in, for the private sector to come in and redevelop that? And, you know, I've tossed around inside of my own head things like things we can't do under Arizona Constitution, which would be something like the tax increment financing. Could you say to somebody, okay, here's what you're paying in property tax now. If you go in there, you raise it to the ground, you build something new on it, you can help finance the additional cost of doing that because you aren't going to have your property taxes go up. Well, first of all, the city of Mesa doesn't have a property tax. And second, I can't do anything to abate property tax for the state because the state constitution, as far as I can tell, doesn't allow me to do that. So is there another way of getting to that through the zoning code that would allow, that would create a financial incentive for somebody to go in and do something like that?
I think we were going to try to be looking at that when we said that instead of having standards, one size fits all, we were trying to look at in the infill areas and look at the needs in the older urban areas to say, are there some standards today that are standing in the way of that kind of redevelopment, revitalization? And I think that there were some other recommendations that would get at that, but it wouldn't focus, as 5C did, on the voluntary inclusionary program for density bonuses. So I hear what you're saying, Vice Mayor, and I will look at that.
Thank you.
All right. do Rexters.
Can we go to 5D? Is that possible? That's allowing upgrades to manufactured homes, trailer parks. Some of our older trailer parks, because of fire rules, you can't bring in new trailers into it. They keep getting older and older because the separations in between them. Is there a way that you can build brick walls or whatever fire suppression systems and allow, or do we have to let these just keep getting older and older and more run down because they can't bring anything new in there with our own rules and separations? Manufactured homes. Some of our parks have rights to take down old 1960s manufactured and put up brand new homes, stick and mortar. Some do not. Can we get it where you have the right on whatever you want to do as a private property owner on your own property? Can you do that? I mean, those are some of the ideas. We have large out in the east side areas that are getting, that were built in the 60s, that are going to be challenges in the next 10 to 20 years. And we need to have different codes, encourage people, private investment to put them into those areas and do it rather than being a city-run project, being an individual-run project. Right now, our own codes stop us from doing that.
Yeah. We did meet with a number of the owners of some of these older parks, and that was the strong message they gave to us. Do something for us.
Good.
I think that has council support. We've seen some projects where they've taken out a couple lots and put in one, and it's been pretty effective. So.
Great.
Good. Scott?
Actually, I think we could tie C and D together to some respect in that some of these manufactured homes, I think I have one coming up fairly soon, would like to redevelop it, that area into homes, from trailer homes into real homes, and perhaps the striking out the affordability, but that increase in density there plus the mixed use would help facilitate some of that. So we're replacing these old, in some cases dilapidated homes with something that's appropriate, it is affordable, that's higher density, but that isn't encouraging some kind of a government incentive or low-income housing. So we're actually raising the standard in that. I would probably just try to roll that into some kind of part of that urban redevelopment portions of this.
Okay.
Perhaps is maybe where that fits.
We'll do that.
This is an idea.
Okay. Any others?
And the other one that I had started asking Gordon about, I see now is captured under 5E. I had missed that, but 5E talks about this notion of second units. The only question I have with that, because I think it's a terrific idea to allow reinvestment in some of those areas, is how that process takes place in terms of impacts on a neighborhood. Do you do an overlay on specific neighborhoods? Do you kind of look at the age of the neighborhood? What are you thinking, Gordon? Gordon?
I don't know anymore. Some of the thought is to go back and maybe possibly include it in part of the infill overlay idea, so that you're designating certain areas for that type of investment. And to expand on with the idea that you had earlier, which was the thought was to expand not only the second unit idea but the remodeling idea, which would be to expand some of the setbacks so that you had, for right now we have a kind of a one-size-fits-all setback for both the building and the garage. The idea would be to expand the setback so that you had a designated setback for the garage, say at 20 feet, and then the building area for the livable area might be allowed to come as close as, say, 15 or 10 feet to the front. That way you still have the idea you can have the garage, you can have the car park in the driveway, but you're expanding the livable area, and you're giving incentive that way to expand what might be a 1,200 square foot home to maybe a 1,500 or 1,600 square foot home.
And I really like that idea because it promotes the reinvestment in our older neighborhoods. Thank you.
Specific questions you needed answered this morning?
I need to know to go forward, sir.
All right, anything else that wasn't covered through our discussion?
No, I think.
Tom?
I have one other issue, and it's the big one that's lurking over 2C and the issue that was withdrawn, and that deals with the design review process. And I was just looking at the charter trying to remind myself of what it says, and I think it's time, maybe it's not in the zoning code update, maybe it is, to revisit the entire discretionary powers that the council has to establish those design review boards and guidelines. It says may, doesn't say shall, and I think it's time to revisit that whole issue as to whether or not we want to continue the existence of the design review board and its function.
Okay. That's actually...
I dive the line for a second.
I can't comment on an item on the agenda, but in this discussion I can comment on the...
I think it would be probably useful to see whether the design review, what if there's any measurable impacts that it's had. It'd be tough to do, to quantify it. You know, and I think the one thing that it has done is to, this is only my perception, I think some people have been forced to make modifications to a building that they might not have done in order to expedite, because it costs too much to not do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that's the justification that we wanted as a council, that, you know, well, we got this, somebody likes to have awnings that go 3 foot instead of two, so they make them put another foot on it or something, and they just do it because they don't want to go through an appeal process and cost too much. Mm-hmm. So that's more of a concern to me, is how do you have a process that will move quickly and decisions made, and we're not using the force of government to delay something to get something that a subcommittee thinks is a better product. So I'm more of a procedural issue than I am. I think this has a place to be injected, but it needs to be injected in a very streamlined process so it doesn't extend out the time frame.
Maybe, I mean, I just think it needs to be looked at. I think the council, and we're going to have a tremendous turnover on the council on the year. I think most of us here have had long experiences with the design review board and the processes, the problems, the benefits. And I think it's fair for us to be the ones to participate in that review rather than a new council, if it's something that anybody else really wants to pursue, whether it's purely procedural, whether it's philosophical, whether it's a combination. It seems that there's a lot more experience on this council than there's going to be in a year. So I'm just recommending that we have that discussion.
Okay. All right. Well, you know the procedure. You can get your...
Yeah.
Yeah. To put it on a study session. All right. Anything else this time? All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. Item number four is appointments to boards and committees, and it's a pretty extensive list today because we have them coming up. Vice Mayor.
Mayor, I would like to move for approval of all of these recommendations, but I want to take a second to just talk about the quality of this list. This is amazing, and it's so long that we can't go through and talk about all of these people, but this represents, I cannot imagine how many hours of work on the part of your chief of staff, Heidi Gast. I think this must be like moving parts. You move this piece here, and then that piece falls out, and she's just done amazing work on this. Also, the willingness of so many highly qualified people in the city of Mesa to volunteer their time to try and make the community a better place to live, to give input to the council so that our decisions are better informed decisions. And so I feel quite honored, actually, to be able to make the motion for approval of these appointments. And thank you, Mayor, for bringing us such quality folks.
Okay. Motion, second.
Second with a comment. I'd like to express the gratitude of Dilworth Britton, a resident of my district who has been trying to get on a board for some time. Mayor, thank you for nominating him for the library board. I think he'll serve you well.
All right. Yes, Scott.
I'd also like to thank you for making an effort to increase the representation of District 6 on here. Historically, we've been underrepresented, and I've noticed quite a few additions, particularly to the Board of Adjustments, and I know you're considering an appointment to the Zoning Board, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. I did a couple of interviews yesterday, some
candidates for P&Z in particular that will be coming forward here shortly, too. So, okay, I have a motion and second to for the appointments to boards and committees. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Item number five is acknowledging receipt of various minutes of boards and committees.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hear reports on meetings and our conferences attended. Any updates? Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. You excused me last week, so you know that I was at the Community and Economic Development Steering Committee, for which I'm the Vice Chair for National League of Cities. I think that the best thing for me there was the amount of time I was able to spend with a councilwoman from Arlington, Texas. It was interesting to be sitting at a table with her as she was describing her city. And I thought, if you pull out the word Arlington and put in the word Mesa, she was describing the history of her community and the financial difficulties they'd been going through with businesses relocating across their border to other places, Fort Worth and other things, and how they were losing sales tax and how significant it had been to them. They do have a property tax in Arlington, but I think you may remember in the Financing the Future Committee that Arlington and Las Vegas and Mesa were the three least expensive cities for residents, for the cost for residents. And she talked about, you know, cutting services, cutting neighborhood services, cutting library hours. It was just a very familiar tune. And she talked about how it really had hit them very hard in 2003. And I said, are you still there today? And if not, how did you get out of it? And she said, we aren't there today. She said, there are three things that have happened. She said, one is that, and she said, we haven't realized the financial impact of this yet, the positive impact, but she said our voters voted to bring the Dallas Cowboys and their stadium to our community, that we have about 200 acres surrounding that was selling, I think she said, about $5 a square foot, and she thinks the value's up closer to between $20 and $30 a square foot now as a result of that. But that they haven't realized that yet. The second one was of tremendous interest. I'm going to recommend that we start checking under City Hall and other buildings to see if we have a natural gas supply, because they discovered that they have a natural gas supply under a couple of pieces of their property. The third one was that they owned their landfill, and they entered into an agreement to lease out their landfill over a period of a number of years. She said, I was grateful that we agreed to lease it out because it turned out that that was one of the areas where there was natural gas underneath it. So they are going to benefit in a couple of ways from that. So, Chris, you might want to start drilling under City Hall. with your Texas experience, I think you're right there. Second thing is that I had a meeting with the city auditor in my role as the chair of the finance committee. He informed me that there has been a change in the standards that the credit card companies are applying. Areas in the city now where we accept credit cards are going to require an annual audit. Otherwise, they will increase the fee that's charged to us for using the credit cards. As a result of that, we're going to have 16 areas that are going to need an audit that would have an impact on our audit plan. And so, Chris, I'm going to ask if we could please bring that back to Audit and Finance Committee, do something to look at this, and who's going to pick that up, because the council approved an audit plan, and if his department had to pick up these 16 audits annually, it would have an impact. Also, I need to understand the cost-benefit return. You know, how much additional cost is there if we don't provide the annual audits versus how much the additional, you know, the additional charge versus the cost of doing the audit. So if we could get some information back on that. And I'm going to let Rex report on the meeting we were at yesterday of the Valley Hotel and Resort Association. Thank you, Mayor.
Rex.
I think we've been trailing each other the day. The Vice Mayor got to speak in front of the Valley Hotel Association, and all the mayors and councils there talking about the great hotels being built around the stadiums, et cetera, and the lake. And we're able to report what's happening on Bass Pro and the new hotel going on there and the potential Waveyard, and also what's happening at Williams Gateway. Mark Center also opened their outpatient at the new center of Mesa, Greenfield, and Southern. The Vice Mayor was speaking there and did a very good job. I think we were also at an early Mesa, early childhood with United Way on education, meeting with business groups. The number one thing that they speak of is getting educated workforce, and I think United Way and a lot of our companies are doing that. At the Dobson 20-year library, 20-year anniversary, and also at a veterans meeting briefly, they're planning the new veterans parade coming up. So it's been an interesting week.
Okay. I do have one report I'd like to mention, a meeting with the Banner Health people with the Children's Hospital. Chris, this has to do with an application they want to put in with the Gila Inn reservation for gaming, maybe even the Salt and the Fort McDowell. They're on a kind of a quick time frame if we could get that forward for whatever approval process it needs. Right. Anyone else? Okay. Scheduling the meetings and general information.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll, just one quick announcement. I think some of you were able to join us at the Dobson Ranch Library to celebrate their 20-year anniversary. I think staff's very excited and about the opportunities that are happening at the library. We've put new carpet in and doing a lot of great programming out there. I think staff's doing a great job carrying on that tradition of that great branch library, so we congratulate them on that. Just as an announcement, again, reminder of meetings, scheduled meetings. Of course, we have Monday, June 25th, council meeting. Before that, though, I believe this is a rescheduled time for the Community and Neighborhood Services Committee meeting. It's a 3:30 meeting, also on the 25th before the council meeting. So if those members of that committee will take note of that 3:30 time. We'll then have a Thursday, June 28th study session. And just a reminder, we have the two council meetings in July will be July 2nd and July 9th. And we will not be having a study session on July 5th. And one final announcement, and I'm looking forward to the raspberries at the pancake breakfast.
There are no raspberries.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Sorry.
Guess I'll bring my own. Strawberries, maybe. Vice Mayor Walters will be having pancake breakfast from 8 to 10 at Fire Station 211, which is located at 2130 North Bourne. So that's this Saturday. Thank you, Mayor.
Good question for Chris. Then we come back on Monday, August 6th, as our first council meeting? No. The 13th?
Yes.
So we will have a study then on the 9th and council on the 13th. 9th will be our first day back.
Hold okay. on.
I believe they're shaking right. their head.
Are you agreeing? Okay. I was checking my calendar.
Thank you.
That sounds right. Yes. Yes. That'll be the Thursday before that council meeting. That makes sense. Yes.
Tom?
So there'll be no study sessions after the 9th?
Correct. Not until August. What did you just say, Mike? 9th. 6th?
August 9th.
Study. 9th. Okay. Sorry. Yes.
I'll be in China. August 9th?
August 9th.
I'll be in Chile.
China, Chile.
Okay.
China, Chile.
I might be sailing. So.
I'll be in an attic.
Yeah, unless I can find my way home. All right, anything else then, questions on that? Do we have any pre-scheduled or items from citizens?
I have no requests, Mayor.
Okay. I have a motion to adjourn. Is there a second? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Passes. Study session is adjourned.